Thank you to everyone who was able to be at our annual celebration yesterday. It was a great time to be together as a church family. I also want to say thank you to the church for all that you have done to serve God this year, the ways that you have cared for our staff through trying times. We shared this yesterday, two of our staff people to lose a parent in 1 year. That places an incredible stress on us. And thank you for all of the love and support that you've showed. Also, I want to say that after the service, Peter and I, we really love you, but we are also heading out to the Midwinter Conference. So if we run off on you, don't be offended, all right? I want to thank our Apex class as well. They are going to teach us today, and we're really excited, and it's something that is important for us, the church, to hear the voices of everyone in our church. And I really believe that God is delighted when we are faithful and we serve him. This front row, at least the ones that are non-adults, this is our church of today, if you are not aware of that. And this is also the church of tomorrow. So everyone who is older than these six up here is eventually going to have to take a back seat and allow them to rise and pass on the gospel message. And so listening to their voices is really important for us today, okay? Yeah. You're only 9, and you're only 8, and you guys have a lot that we can learn from. So I'm excited, and I hope you will be too. I'd invite you to join me in this time of prayer. God, we indeed give you thanks this day. We thank you because you are good. We thank you because your love is everlasting. We come to you on our knees in thanksgiving for all of the ways that you continue to watch over us, to bless us, to correct us, to guide us. Every step of the path that you have planned for us, we give you thanks. We thank you for the good world that we are a part of and our chance to participate with you in making this world right. We thank you for the gift of human life. We thank you for the work that you give us to do. We thank you for the friends that you put in our life. We thank you for the family, both our families here and our families that are scattered around the country and perhaps even this world. We thank you for children, for their energy and their curiosity, for the way that they bravely and boldly play. They don't care what people think. We praise you and thank you that they remind us through their startling frankness. We thank you for the ways that they show their love and care to one of us. We thank you for both growing up and for growing old. We thank you for your help in times of doubt and in times of strength. We thank you for the church into which you have called us. We thank you for the good news which we receive through the word and through your sacraments. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, which is the fire and fuel of our faith, directing our steps and driving us forward day in and day out. God, for all of these things, we give you thanks, and there are so many things on our hearts that we could offer to you in addition. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, and we offer this prayer in your name, O Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. How are you? Good. Awesome. In Kids Zone, usually we start our morning with thumbs up, thumbs down. So I'm not going to have everybody share their thumbs up, thumbs down. But right now, are you feeling thumbs up-ish or thumbs down-ish? Thumbs up means you're having a great day. Thumbs down is thumbs in the middle means there's some good and some not so good. We talk about those things. So my name is Amy, and I am the children's pastor here at Edgewater, and I want to introduce to you our teaching team for this morning. I'm going to say their name, and they're going to stand up and wave at you. They didn't know I was going to do this. So, Brian, stand up and wave. You don't have to say anything, just wave. Brian is helping to teach this morning. James is helping to teach today. Wave. Hey! Anthony is helping to teach today. Emily is helping to teach today. Eden is helping to teach today, and Sammy is helping teach today. So these are our awesome Apex students. which is our third through fifth grade class. We in Edgewater have been going through the series Immerse, which, and we're starting with the very beginning of the Bible, reading the first five books of the Bible as story. And we, as a group in Apex, have been learning some different ways to study the Bible. It's part of our curriculum for this year. And kind of starting with those different Bible study methods that we were learning, Miss Diane and Mr. Chris and Mr. Leonard have been teaching our kids these amazing ways to learn and study the Bible through the story of Joseph. So when it turned out that this was the week that we were going to talk about Joseph, it kind of all came together. Well, our kids have been studying Joseph, and they've learned how to study the Bible, so why don't we share what we've learned with you? So we're going to do that today. Before we start, you dropped your water bottle. It's all good. When we come to the Bible, I like to come with a very simple prayer, and I do it in my own prayer times, and we do it when we're in a group. And the prayer is very simple, so I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Lord God, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that you would give us eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and hearts to know and love you better. In the name of the one who came for us, amen. So, we have two different Bible study methods that we're going to share with you this morning. And the first one, anybody know what this is? Go ahead and just... It's a magnifying glass. Somebody give me an idea who uses a magnifying glass. James? People who can't see well. Who else? Detectives. Detective Pikachu. I have not met Detective Pikachu.
Stamp collectors.
Stamp collectors. I did not know that. Yes, sir.
People who like bugs.
People who like bugs. I do not fall into that category at all. For those of you who love bugs, I'm sorry. The first method that we learned is a method called Bible detectives, which is why we have our fancy, nifty magnifying glass. And a detective is somebody who asks questions about what happened. They want to understand all the coming up before something happened, the actual what happened, and then what happened afterwards. So they ask lots of questions. Helping me with this first part are going to be Brian and James. So if you guys want to come on up, do you have the special tool? Brian, James needs it first. Okay. So, Brian, I'm going to ask you, okay, give him the tool. We have special tools. It's very exciting. So, Brian, you can stand in front of the microphone. Lift it up so you can talk into it. There you go. You guys are a little bit taller. There we go. Brian, what is a Bible detective?
A Bible detective is someone who reads part of the Bible and does an investigation to understand it better.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. He's right. So thank you, Brian. Good job. Sammy and Emily are going to hand out. We've been working with a very cool tool. So Sammy, if you want to get this side of the room, and Emily, if you want to get that side of the room. We have a Bible detective's guide that we've been using in Kids Zone. Just take a bunch and pass them around. And the Bible Detective Guide has a couple of different kinds of questions on it. We'll wait till everybody has one. If you don't have it, does everybody have a pen? Because you might need a pen. Just saying. Okay. So they're going to pass. Oh, see, this is why we need a wind guard. So I can fan myself. Just kidding. How are we doing? Good job. Ah, I hear pens. Lots of pens. Thank you, Pastor Peter. All right. So you have a Bible Detectives Guide in front of you, and there are two different kinds of questions on our Bible Detectives Guide. James, I'm going to ask you first. Which of those questions are the fact-finding questions? Talking to the mic.
Who, when, where, what?
Okay, can you bring your special tool? And can you help us? Do we have that graphic? On your page, those are, you can't see it very well, the orange ones.
So I can see that.
You can see that. Okay, everything that's highlighted in orange are your fact-finding questions. So who was involved? Where did it happen? When did it happen? And what happened? Okay. Basic questions. Yes, sir.
Am I done?
You're done. Man, this tool over to Brian, though. Brian needs a tool. Okay. Brian, I have a question.
Yes.
What do the deeper meaning questions help us learn?
These questions help us pay attention to...
I know, it was a typo. Observations.
Observations.
Not yet.
Questions, what does it mean and why does it matter?
Oh, right. Can you use your pointer and show us which questions are the questions that are deeper meaning questions? So what does it mean? Why does it matter? Observations right next to it. I can't quite read that. What questions do I have? Is that center box? And then I always find it helpful when I go back to my notes to actually write down what scripture reference I'm doing. So that box up in the corner is to make sure I write that down so I don't get lost. Thank you. You may have a seat, I think. I know. You can also have a seat. Thank you, Brian and James. Yes, so right now, not right now, I need Eden and Anthony to come on up. If you have a Bible app on your phone, or if you have a Bible with you, now would be the time to go ahead and open up your Bible, because we are going to study the Bible using our Bible detective sheets this morning. And the passage is Genesis 37, 1 through 11. It'll be up on the screen. We're going to be reading from the International Children's Bible, which is a little bit different version than you might be used to. It's a language that is a little bit more accessible for our younger readers. If you need a good Bible app, I have found that BibleGateway.com actually works pretty well. You can get lots of different versions, which is where I found the International Children's Bible, so it works well. Eden and Anthony are going to read our passage for us. It'll also be up here. I want to invite you, as they're reading, to be listening for those questions. Okay, go ahead.
Jacob lived in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived. This is the family history of Jacob. Jacob was a young man, 17 years old. He and his brothers cared for flocks. His brothers were the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. His father's wives, Joseph, gave his father bad reports about his brothers. Joseph was born when his father, Israel, also called Jacob. Wait. Okay. Jacob was old, so Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons. He made Joseph a special robe with long sleeves. Joseph's brothers saw that their father loved Joseph more than he loved them. So they hated their brother and could not speak to him politely.
One time, Joseph had a dream. When he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. Joseph said, "Listen to my dream I had. We were in a field tying bundles of wheat together. My bundle stood up, and your bundles of wheat gathered around mine. Your bundles bowed down to mine." His brother said, "Do you really think you will be king over us? Do you truly think you will rule over us?" His brothers hated him even more now. They hated him because of his dreams and what he had said.
Then Joseph had another dream. He told his brothers about it also. He said, "Listen, I had another dream. I saw the sun, moon, and 11 stars bowing down to me." Joseph also told his father about this dream. But his father scolded him, saying, "What kind of dream is this? Do you really believe that your mother will and mother, your brothers, and I will bow down to you?"
Joseph's brothers were jealous of him, but his father thought about what all these things could mean.
Thank you, Brian and And James, come on up. You're ready. Are you ready? You have the next question. We've got some size disparities here. There we go.
Turn to your neighbor and quickly answer the fact-finding questions. Who, what, where, happens, what happens.
Okay. So you have a task. Go ahead and turn to your neighbors. No, we're not going to sing the Jeopardy song. But we will give you about a minute to go ahead and do that. Hold on. Wait until I say. So you're answering the fact-finding questions, which are who, what, and Brian's going to show which ones those are on our page again. Those are the orange ones. Good job.
Tell my mom it's a good time to go, okay?
Not yet. I know you love the laser. Put the laser away. Okay, James, go ahead.
Now turn to your neighbor and talk about your observations and any questions that you have.
Okay, can you show them which boxes are those? The blue ones, yeah. Get the laser. I'm very excited. So these are the questions you're talking about now. Brian really likes the laser tool. Hold, please. In my head, I'm singing the Jeopardy theme song, so I know how much time to give you. But we decided we wouldn't do it out loud, because that's obnoxious. No. Okay, so if we can gather your attention, Brian has a question for you.
Would anybody like to share what they talked about?
Good job. Any observations or questions? Yes, Stacy.
George and I are wondering if Joseph was arrogant or if he was unaware.
That's a good question. Was he stuck up or did he not understand how his family felt about him? That's a great question. What did you say to remember? When somebody shares something,
thank you.
Good job. Would anybody else like to say anything? Oh, that was your line, sorry. Would anybody else like to share anything?
Would anybody else like to share?
I had a question, actually. Thank you. I was curious about, I know that Jacob married Leah and Rachel, but the two women who were talked about in this passage were Bilhah and Zilpah, so I was curious about who they might be. So that's a question that's worth looking into, I think.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Question. Why would Joseph tell his brothers his dreams? Good question. Say thank you.
Thanks.
Good job. Yes. Did Israel or Jacob not realize what he was doing by showing such favoritism? Great question. What do you say?
Thank you.
Good job. Those are all great questions. We're not going to answer them all right now. But asking the questions is really, really important. And one of the things that we learned, are you raising your hand or dancing? You're dancing. Okay. One of the things that we learned is that by asking questions, sometimes it's okay to say, I don't know the answer to that yet. And when we don't know the answer, we can ask somebody else. We can read other books. We can read before or after the story. And so a lot of those answers kind of come together. Ask one more time.
Would anybody like to share what they talked about?
Okay, James, are you ready for your question?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Now turn to your neighbor and talk about what the story means and why it matters. Pay special attention to what the story reveals about who God is, who we are, what God wants for the world or how God is working in the world?
Right. These are the questions down at the, you want to, where's the laser pointer? In the bottom box. So these are the questions in the very bottom box. What does this story possibly mean and why could it possibly matter? And I'm singing the Jeopardy theme song again.
Would anybody like to share what they talked about?
Angie, is that you saying you have something or that you're trying to throw your friend under the bus? We'll leave that then. I'm not going to make anybody speak who doesn't want to. Okay. Thank you. Good job, you guys. So, yes, thank you. So that's the first part of the story. We have Joseph with dreams and brothers who hate him. That's not a, it's actually a very, if you're a writer, it's a great start to a story, right? You have a character that everybody hates, except for one person. What is going to happen next? If you've been listening or reading to our Immerse readings this week, you've heard the whole story of Joseph. In case you haven't, our students are actually going to come and give you a summary of what happened between the beginning of Joseph's life, which we just read, and the end, which we're going to study when we're done with our summary. So you all are going to come on up, all of you. Yeah, I know. This is the long part, except for you. You don't have a part in this one, do you? You can sit down. The rest of you, though, our children here are going to give you a summary, quick fire, of what happened to Joseph after he had his dreams. Anthony, you start. Microphone. Got to say it loud and clear. There you go.
Do I read the part that I read right now?
Yes, you read the part that you read right now. You're reading.
Joseph's brothers hated him. They thought about killing him, but instead they sold him to traveling merchants who took him to Egypt and sold him as a slave to the captain of the army, a man named Potiphar.
Sammy?
Yeah.
Sammy.
Joseph did such a good job in Potiphar's house that Potiphar let Joseph be in charge of everything in his household, all of his servants, all of his animals, and all of his money. But then someone accused Joseph of doing something bad. Potiphar sent Joseph to prison, even though Joseph was innocent. Joseph was a great prisoner, so the lead prison guard put Joseph in charge of the other prisoners.
While Joseph was in prison, two servants from Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, were sent to prison because Pharaoh was angry with them. One was a baker and the other was a cupbearer. One night in prison, each man had a dream. They did not know what their dreams meant, but Joseph told them that their dreams belonged to God, and that God would tell Joseph what the dreams meant. So the men told their dreams, and Joseph told them what the dreams meant. Joseph said that the cupbearer's dream showed that he was going to get his old job back. Joseph said the baker's dream showed that Pharaoh was going to have him killed. Joseph was right about both of the dreams. When the cupbearer returned to the palace of Pharaoh, he promised Joseph that he would tell Pharaoh about Joseph so that he could be freed from prison. But the cupbearer forgot about his promise, and Joseph stayed in prison.
2 years later, Joseph had a dream. Pharaoh did not know what the dream meant. He asked all the wise people in his kingdom, but nobody could tell him what the dream meant. Finally, the cupbearer remembered Joseph had told him what his dream meant, and he told Pharaoh about Joseph. Pharaoh had Joseph brought to him from prison. Joseph told Pharaoh his dream meant that there were going to be 7 years in the land where there was more than enough food for everybody. After those 7 years, there were going to be 7 years of
famine.
And there would be no food for anyone.
Good job. James. There you go.
Pharaoh was concerned, and he asked Joseph what he should do. Joseph told Pharaoh to find someone to be in charge of gathering and saving food during the time of plenty, so there would be food for the time of famine. Pharaoh liked this idea and decided that Joseph should be the person in charge of all the food in Egypt. Joseph stopped being a prisoner and became the second most powerful man in the whole world.
The times of plenty and famine came just as Joseph had said they would. The famine spread far beyond the land of Egypt, all the way to the land where Joseph's father Jacob and all his brothers lived. When his family began to serve, Jacob sent Joseph's brothers to Egypt because he had heard that there was food there. The brothers went to Egypt and bowed down before the man in charge of the food. They did not recognize Joseph, but he recognized his brothers. Eventually, the brothers traveled home and then back to Egypt to bring his youngest brother, Benjamin, to see Joseph. The part of the story we are going to study next is what happened when Joseph finally revealed his identity to his brothers.
Thank you all so much. Yes, good job. It was a lot of, hold on. Lots of story happened, and it was very convoluted, and there was lots of trickiness all over the place. Eden, I think you can have a seat for right now. Lectio Divina is a very old practice and very old way of reading the Bible, of studying the Bible, and that's another method that we've practiced, and we're going to talk about that today. Sammy, what does Lectio Divina mean?
Lectio Divina means holy reading.
Good job. Emily, how do we do Lectio Divina?
We listen to a Bible passage several times, listening carefully for what God might want us to learn about who God is, who we are, what God wants for the world, or how God is working in the world.
Great, thank you. Sammy, Emily, go ahead. Why do we light a candle when we do Lectio Divina?
For two reasons. First, because it reminds us that God, whose light, is present with us while we listen to the word. Second, because the flame helps us focus, so we don't listen with our eyes closed and fall asleep.
Yes, we learned that. It's a good, helpful way to not fall asleep while you're listening to the Word of God. The first time we hear the Word of God, right now, and Emily, I think you read first, we are simply going to listen. As we listen, we're asking the question, what does this reveal about who God is, who we are, what God wants for the world, or how is God working in the world? You can have a seat for a second. At the end, when Emily finishes reading her passage, there will be a brief pause. That's on purpose. And in that time, listen. We know that when we come to the Word of God, and we have prayed that God would give us eyes and ears to hear and see. Got that backwards, but you know what I mean. Trust that what comes into your head is a Holy Spirit prompting. So pay attention to those things that show up. Emily, are you ready to read? Okay, Emily's going to read the first time through the end of Joseph's story.
Joseph could not control himself in front of his servants any longer. He cried out, "Have everyone leave me." When only the brothers were left with Joseph, he told them who he was. Joseph cried so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and the people in the king's palace heard about it. He said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But the brothers could not answer him because they were very afraid of him. So Joseph said to them, "Come close to me." So the brothers came close to him. And he said to them, "I am your brother Joseph. You sold me as a slave to go to Egypt. Now don't be worried. Don't be angry with yourselves because you sold me here. God sent me here ahead of you to save people's lives. No food has grown on the land for 2 years now, and there will be 5 more years without planting or harvest. So God sent me here ahead of you. This was to make sure you have some descendants left on earth, and it was to keep you alive in an amazing way. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. God has made me the highest officer of the king of Egypt. I am in charge of his palace, and I am the master of all the land of Egypt. So leave quickly and go to my father. Tell him, 'Your son Joseph says, God has made me master over all Egypt. Come down to me quickly. Live in the land of Goshen. You will be near me, also your children, your grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all that you have will be near me. I will care for you during the next 5 years of hunger. In this way, you and your family and all that you have will not starve.'"
Second time we hear the passage, we're also going to look at it. So our helpers are going to come and hand out one to each person. Make sure everybody gets one. You're helping Brian. Okay.
Which one?
Have a seat, you're fine. It's good. The second time, as Sammy reads the passage, pay attention to words, phrases, or images that catch your attention. You can underline or circle those things on your paper. If something that isn't in there comes to mind, jot it down. If a picture comes to mind, there's blank space on the back of your page where you can draw a picture. So you're listening specifically to hear what is it that sticks to your in your mind from what you hear. Is everybody ready, and does everybody have a copy of the passage? Great. Thank you, darling. Sammy, would you read, please?
Joseph could not control himself in front of all of his servants any longer. He cried out, "Have everyone leave me." When only the brothers were left with Joseph, he told them who he was. Joseph cried so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and the people in the king's palace heard about it. He said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But the brothers could not answer him because they were afraid of him. So Joseph said to them, "Come close to me." So the brothers came close to him, and he said to them, "I am your brother Joseph. You sold me as a slave to go to Egypt. Now don't be worried or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. God sent me here ahead of you to save people's lives. No food has grown on the land for 2 years now, and there will be 5 more years without planting or harvest. So God sent me here ahead of you." This was to make sure you have some descendants left on earth, and it was to keep you alive in an amazing way. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. God has made me the highest officer of the king of Egypt. I am in charge of his palace. I am the master of all land of Egypt. So leave quickly and go to my father and tell him, your son Joseph says, God has made me master all over Egypt. Come down quick. Come to me. Come down to me quickly. Live in the land of Goshen. You will be near me, also your children, your grandchildren, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have will be near me. I will take care for you during the next 5 years of hunger. In this way, you and your family and all that you have will not starve.
This third time, as you hear the passage one more time, listen specifically for what God might be trying to say to you in your own life right now. It could be an action that God wants you to take. It could be a change God wants you to make. It could be a truth God wants you to know. It could be a gift God wants you to accept. Or it could be something else. Again, you can write notes and questions or draw a picture while you listen. Emily, will you come and read one more time?
Joseph could not control himself in front of his servants any longer. He cried out, "Have everyone leave me." When only their brothers were left with Joseph, he told them who he was. Joseph cried so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and the people in the king's palace heard about it. He said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But the brothers could not answer him because they were very afraid of him. So Joseph said to them, "Come close to me." So the brothers came close to him, and he said to them, "I am your brother Joseph. You sold me as a slave to go to Egypt. Now, don't be worried. Don't be angry with yourselves because you sold me here. God sent me here ahead of you to save people's lives. No food has grown on the land for 2 years now, and there will be 5 more years without planting or harvest. So God sent me here ahead of you. This was to make sure that you have some descendants left on earth, and it was to keep you alive in an amazing way. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. God has made me the highest officer of the king of Egypt. I am in charge of his palace, and I am the master of the land of Egypt. So leave quickly and go to my father. Tell him, your son Joseph says, God has made me master over all Egypt. Come down to me quickly. Live in the land of Goshen. You will be near me. Also your children, your grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all that you have will be near me. I will care for you during the next 5 years of hunger. In this way, you and your family and all that you have will not starve.
One of the things that we've been learning in our Apex class is that the Bible is meant to be studied in community. And so we want to, Brian, come on up. You have another question coming up here. When we come to the Bible in this kind of with this kind of approach, with Lectio Divina, it's important, we hear lots of things and God speaks very clearly. It's very important that we communicate what we hear to other members of the body. And so, Brian, you have a question for the church? You're good.
Would anybody like to share what they talked about?
What they read or heard? What they heard.
I mean what they heard.
There you go. What caught your attention? Yes, Cecilia. Right. All the way through, even all of his little episodes that they that they summarized for us. Yes, that God's provision has been and presence has been with Joseph all the way through all of his life and all of the episodes of his life was something that Cecilia heard. What do you say to Cecilia?
Thank you.
Good job. Nina? Yes, the tone here is much more humble than when he was a young boy, when he was 17, and bragging about his dreams, we think, maybe. The tone is much more humble now when he speaks to them. I was struck by the outpouring of emotion it says Joseph, what was it, cried so loudly that the whole palace heard it. Thank you. Oh, sorry, that's your job.
Thank you.
Good job. Ezra.
Even when something looks tragic and catastrophic, that God is completely in control even through that.
Even when something is catastrophic, God is in control even in that. What do you say to Ezra?
Thank you.
Good job. Steve, you had your hand up? Or was I making that up? God knows the whole plan, start to finish. What do you say to Steve?
Thank you.
Okay. Cindy? Oh, all families have drama. Amen to that. Yeah, I heard that too. What do you say to Cindy?
Thank you.
Good job. Miss Diane?
When I read this here, I see from 17 the journey that God had Joseph on. There's always a lesson. There's always a teaching. God's teaching him. Mm-hmm. By the end of it, he learned how to forgive. People who hurt you, those little ones, that you will let hold you back if you don't learn to be obedient. Go. There's going to be people jealous of you. There's going to be haters. But go. Do what God
right.
says to you. There's always teaching in there. So he learned. In the end, he said, I'm your brother. So mm-hmm. he had learned how to forgive.
He did learn how to forgive. And I love that you don't let what people do to you stop you from being obedient. Absolutely. What do you say to Miss Diane?
Thank you.
Good job. Kenya? Right. Mm-hmm. In the beginning of the story, I'm just going to say this so that it's on the recording for later. In the beginning, it looks like maybe Joseph is the favored one and God seems to love him a little bit more. But as we listen, we hear God loving the entire family and saving the entire family. Which I was going to say earlier to Peter, thank you for choosing all these songs of intergenerational faithfulness of God. Because we see that here in this story, that God is keeping his promise that he made to Jacob's father, Isaac, and to Isaac's father, Abraham. And it kind of keeps going on down the line. Thank you. Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Good job. Anybody else?
From the perspective of the brothers who, you know, now have been provided for after what they, you know, literally did to their younger brother. You know, to waylay on them because of, you know, something that people say. We say things all the time, you know, even when we're young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah. Things that we do when we're young or when we're old that are harmful to other people. I heard the same thing, Ray. I heard that don't be worried and don't be angry with yourselves because you sold me here. And I got to thinking about how much I have done in my youth, whether it was intentional or not intentional, that has been harmful to others. And not even in my youth, even in my right now, I do things that hurt people. And to hear God say, that's redeemable. And I will. And then that was, for me, that was, I resonate with you there, Ray.
Thank you.
Good job. Anybody else have anything they'd like to share? Roxy.
I am where I am. And I'm in the places I've been.
I am where I am, and I've been in the places that I've been for a reason. Absolutely. What do you say?
Thank you.
Good job. So friends, that's how you do Lectio Divina. It's another way of studying the Bible. And I'm going to ask our kids one more time to help pass out a couple more things.
Me?
All of you, because we've got these. All of y'all. we have, when we did Lectio Divina, we did kind of a shortened version. You're actually supposed to do a reading four times, but I figured for the sake of time. So I'm sending home a guide for Lectio Divina, as well as a blank Bible detectives page. So maybe if my ladies could hand this one out, you can split that up between the three of you, and if my gentlemen can hand this one out, that would be great. And then I want you all to come back up to the front. Okay, go quick, super fast, like lightning. Here we go. Okay, I'm sorry about your paper cut. Go. They're two different things. You're getting a blank Bible detectives page and a Lectio Divina guide. I got papers everywhere. So all together, you should have four pieces of paper. All right. Is everybody good? We're still waiting in the back row here. You're the only one done? Way to go. Thank you, James. You're doing a great job too, Anthony. Brian is also doing a great job. So is Eden, and so is Sammy, and Emily as well. Fabulous. Yes. Is there a typo?
I don't know. At the bottom, it just symbols for everything they're
working. Oh my goodness. Yes. On the bottom of your Lectio Divina guide, apparently the computer didn't like the program I used. Those symbols that say the word of God is that is not what that's supposed to say. That should say the word of God is living and active. Okay. All right, can I have my team up here? Come on up, team.
I'm already here.
Thank you. So I have two final thoughts. Does everybody have all the papers? And did everybody get that the word of God is living and active? All right. Two final thoughts. First, Lectio Divina is not done when you share with somebody around you. Lectio Divina includes an element called meditation. It doesn't mean you sit cross-legged. Okay, that's not the kind of meditation I'm talking about. We're talking about taking something that grabbed your attention and focusing on that for every day of the following week. So with what you've heard this morning, pick something that you think is the most significant to you, write it on a post-it note or on an index card and stick it somewhere where you're going to see it every day, and let that form and shape and guide your thoughts and your prayers every day this week. Finally, on behalf of your APEX team, I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to share with you what we've been learning. We hope that these two Bible study methods, Bible study detectives, and Lectio Divina will be helpful to you and useful to you as you continue to dive into the Word of God. So thank you so much. Oh, Pastor Steve, did you? Yeah. Give them, they worked hard this morning. That's all of the language that they used actually came from them. They ended up reading it because I wrote it all out for them, but they put the whole thing together. So this was their work, their heart. Good job, y'all. You're awesome. Okay, and Pastor Steve had something to say.
Yeah, I want you guys.
Not till the end of the service.
To stay up here and what was this again?
A magnifying
glass. And What can we use this for? To look at stuff. Okay, do you think this is pretty cool?
Yeah.
Would anyone like this?
I can see the light from behind.
Sorry, you can't have this one. Where's the special tool? Oh, he thought he was going to walk away with it. What is this used for? You can point things out, and there's also a little flashlight on here so that you can see what you're looking for. Would anyone like this? Sorry, you can't have this one. But what you can have is you each get your own. All right?
Yay.
Here you guys go. All right? We have one of these so that we want to encourage you guys to continue to be Bible detectives. All right? And I know that your parents and grandparents are going to love this part too. You also each get one of those. All right? Because we want to encourage you that you can keep learning the Bible, and then you can point it out.
Okay, now I have a word for them. I have a word for my kids here. Apex kids, look at me. Eyes on me. Eyes on me. Anthony, eyes on me. The laser is never, ever, ever supposed to shine in anybody's eye. Do we understand? Okay, good job. Thank you.
Let's give them one final hand.